Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 29. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Genesis, the 19th chapter. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the earth and said, "My lords, please turn aside to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise up early and go your way." They said, "No, we will spend the night in the town square." But he pressed them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people to the last man, surrounded the house. And they called to Lot, "Where are these men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them." Lot went out to the men at the entrance, shut the door after him, and said, "I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. Behold, I have two daughters who have not known any man. Let me bring them out to you and do to them as you please. Only do nothing to these men, for they have come under the shelter of my roof." But they said, "Stand back." And they said, "This fellow came to sojourn, and he has become the judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." Then they pressed hard against the man Lot and drew near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck with blindness the men who were at the entrance of the house, both small and great, so that they wore themselves out groping for the door. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone you have in the city? Bring them out of the place, for we are about to destroy this place, because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law who were to marry his daughters, "Up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city." But he seemed to his son-in-laws to be jesting. As morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. And as they brought them out, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away." And Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords. Behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you've shown me great kindness in saving my life. But I cannot escape to the hills, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Behold, this city is near enough to flee to and is a little one. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved." He said to him, "Behold, I grant you this favor also, that I will not overthrow the city of which you have spoken. Escape there quickly, for I can do nothing till you arrive there." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. And then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley. And he looked, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like the smoke of a furnace. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
it's enough to mention the name Sodom. By the time Moses put his hand to the pen, Sodom was already a byword and a cautionary tale everywhere. It's like the name of Judas in the Gospels. It's expected that you already know the rest of the story. And if you have to ask, well, then you'll have to whisper it to the person next to you, and you'll have to have one of those awkward side conversations. God had heard the outcries against this city. So with tongue in cheek, Moses says that God goes down to have a look-see, just like he did at Babel. Am I a God far off and not a God close at hand, says the Lord? And when the Lord comes close at hand, welcomed by faith, by Lot alone, he indeed finds that the outcry is just as he had been suggested to him. And his angel visitors were about to receive what is presented to us in this text as the customary treatment in Sodom. And, like most awkward side conversations, let the reader understand. Now, in our age of anti-heroes and endless postmodern retellings, it's no surprise to find that there are apologists for Sodom. There are those who point to the statements that are found in the prophets to shift our focus away from all this carnal knowledge stuff. These people were just being inhospitable. They were proud. They were gluttonous. They did not do justice to those around them. All true. But the point of the prophets in bringing these things up is who they're talking to Israel. And to tell Israel that they have become as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah, consummately wicked and in danger of the very fate we've heard today. The reader does understand what is so heinous about this city and knows that it is wrong. So do not pretend otherwise. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience and all those who suppress the truth. That sin, which has sometimes been named for Sodom, and which was attempted against Lot's guests, what Jude calls lust after strange flesh, it wasn't the extent of this city's error, but it was the extreme limit of how far things had gone. St. Paul then follows the exact same progression in Romans chapter 1 when he talks about where unbelief and idolatry always take men. Sodom was exactly as you have always heard it referenced. And so, dear Christians, are we meant to remember it. God wiped them out in his wrath. And the point is, there's no reason in this world why he wouldn't do the very same thing again. Even Jesus himself made reference to Sodom and Gomorrah in the Gospels. He said that it would be more bearable for Sodom on the last day than for those who rejected him in Capernaum. You see, Sodom could not be a point of comparison for Jesus unless it were indeed an example of the most wicked men, someone that could be proverbially so. Those who got what they deserved, who got a judgment that Christ agrees with, that Abraham was compelled to see and accept even though he didn't want it to happen, and that Lot was quite literally dragged to this conclusion. That means, dear Christians, that we must agree with that judgment also. And then, as a result, we are redirected not to weep for them, but to weep for ourselves. We are warned to stop, to avoid all such sins from the least all the way up to the greatest, and to flee situations like this, and to recognize that it is of the Lord's mercies that we too are not consumed along with the wicked. Now we're coming to the end of Lot's story, which has only gotten sadder and sadder with each episode. Regrettably, we still have to talk about his daughters next week, and we have to include Lot's strange proposal in today's text next time. But for today, two observations about Lot. First, the scriptures tell us that he was righteous. We see his faith in his reaction to the Lord's visitors and his protection of those guests against the people of the city. This is Lot's imitable quality. But second, we see where his weakness got him. We don't know if he saw this risk back when he chose the better land that had the bad company with it, or when he risked moving to the city after he had been rescued by Abraham. And we don't know why his outcries and his laments to God weren't coupled with some kind of action already to move away from this craziness. But regardless, when the situation did become as clear as brimstone, still he lingered. And his wife lingers still. Now there is comfort here, but there's only one. It is that the Lord is able to rescue us also, and that despite our stupidity. For it is his mercy alone in Christ Jesus that can save us from a world gone mad with sin. Behold his great patience even with Lot. So is Christ Jesus gracious to forgive and to deliver from any and all sin, even at the latest 11th hour. And if we need to linger among anyone who is named after that destroyed city, let us never fail to tell them this, even if they will refuse to hear it. But there is also this Christian wisdom for us to gain, that there is no virtue in skirting or flirting with evil or with playing chicken with it or with lingering unnecessarily around it. O Lord, make us not a byword among the nations, and grant your instruction to us on whom the end of the age has come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.